You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We started a series a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night on faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
And one of the things that we centered in on, or one of the angles we hit it at, or the points we made, is that we all have it. If we're Christians, believers, we have faith. There's no question there. We have the same spirit of faith that Paul said we had in 2 Corinthians 4:13, 2 Peter 1:1. We have like precious faith, same kind of faith that Peter had. And then Paul said this in Romans 12, verse 3. He says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we all have faith. Everybody's got it. It's not something we're going out looking for. We've got it. Now, we may not be doing anything with it. We may not be developing it. We may not be in an environment that's conducive to faith, that helps faith, that encourages faith, but faith is something we have. Yes. We all got the seed. We all got faith. Amen. Amen? Some people's faith more developed than others, but nobody has inherently more faith. Faith is just something that develops, like a muscle. I don't have any more muscles than Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. Wow. He doesn't have any more muscles than I do. His are a little more developed than mine, that's all. You know, I guess, being governor, he needs them. But anyway, but I mean, a baby doesn't have any less muscles than a grown person does. They have the same amount of muscles, but those muscles are developed throughout their life. And so faith is something we develop. It increases as we use it, just like a muscle would increase. Whereas we could believe for a little bit, maybe when we're first born again, we begin to trust God for bigger things because we're able to lift more weight, as it were, because we developed that muscle. We've used it. Now, the reason some people hadn't grown at all in their faith after being saved and being Christians for 20 years is they never used their faith, never trusted God, didn't turn their family over to Him, their life over to Him. And so, yeah, they got faith, but it hadn't grown very much. Are you with me?
Yep.
So it's not like God's going to give us a bunch more faith or pour it out to us. If we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, we'd step out on it. And that's the principle. Love's no different. I think, you know, if you begin to love people, your love will grow. But God doesn't just throw a bunch of love at you. It's in you. You've got to use it and develop it. Amen?
Amen.
Faith's no different. At least that's the way I read it here. Our faith increases by use. It increases as we step out on it. It increases as we feed it, as it were. We feed it with the Word. Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Now, if you do not hear the Word and you are not reading the Bible and you are not in church, your faith cannot grow because it is starving for what feeds it. It's starving for what makes it grow. If all you're seeing is the problem, all you're talking is the problem, everybody around you is talking the problem, the people you hang around with are negative, then you're not going to feed your faith. That's why it's so important that pastors, I are one. That's why it's so important that I preach faith. The word of faith which we preach, that I preach to you and teach you to believe, to trust God. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't see everything. I'm not a psychic and don't want to be. But I know this. I know whatever it is you're going through, God's bigger than what you're going through.
Amen.
And if you can trust Him, if you can believe Him, if I can encourage you to call on Him, if I can preach to you that there's hope and there's an answer and there are promises, if you'll go after God and you'll seek after Him and you call on Him, that He'll answer you and He'll show you great and mighty things you know not, then I've done my job. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to encourage you in your faith. That's what I am, as a pastor, supposed to do. That's actually what Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give them pastors after my own heart who feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Hosea 4:6 says, My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Think about it. So we got faith, but without the knowledge of God, without the Word of God, there's nothing to believe. Faith has an object of belief, God's Word. So without it, you can't believe, because the Word is what faith works with. You got to know what God says, and preachers should be preaching the Word. Amen. And encouraging you and me, we can make it. Hallelujah. I don't want to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. I want to know the truth. And Jesus said, if I know the truth, truth make me free. You can be free. Woo! As free as you want to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we all have it. If we're believers, that's what we do, is believe. We don't even come to church to find out if we can believe. We come to church to find out what we believe. We don't even read the Bible to find out if we can believe. We read the Bible to find out what we believe. Does that make sense? Yeah. God calls us believers. This thing is called the household of faith. That's what we are. This message we preach is the word of faith. I get tickled when people say, well, you know, you guys, you faith preachers. I love it when they say that. Because I'm thinking, what does that mean? You're a doubt preacher?
Exactly.
I don't get that. Of course I'm a faith preacher. Every minister should be. In other words, I don't know if anybody gets up and say, now this is when this sermon is over. When I get through preaching all these things, I don't want you to believe one word I say.
That's right.
Well, the whole point they're preaching is so you can believe it. Amen? We're encouraging you to believe something. And so, in this case, it's God's Word. Man, I love that. You know, it's been said that faith is like, is believing in a greater fact. It's denying a lesser fact and believing a greater fact. Faith could be said to be like that because there's a lot going on in the world. We don't deny what's going on, problems and pains and moods and circumstances. But, you know, there is a greater fact. There's a greater truth than all that. And that with faith, we step above all that. Blaise Pascal said it this way, faith doesn't oppose your senses. Faith is above them, not against them. In other words, when your body says it hurts. But faith says, by His stripes you're healed. And you pursue that healing and overcome that pain.
That's right.
See, it reveals something that your body doesn't. Your body is just in the natural realm. It just sees natural things. That's it. That's all it can do. But faith steps out into the supernatural. I love that. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Supernatural is real. We have a basis for belief. It's an objective faith. Faith's not a subjective faith. Anything you want to believe. No, faith has an object, and that object is God's Word. Yeah. Ultimately, Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. But His Word, what He has to say. So with that in mind, let's talk about faith and talk about some of the attributes of faith or maybe benefits of faith. I doubt if we get too much in attributes. But Hebrews 11, have you found that? Classic chapter on faith. As I said, we discussed about how we all have it. We all have the same spirit of faith. We have like precious faith, like Peter. Same spirit like Paul. We all have the measure of faith, Paul said. And faith comes by hearing the Word, Romans 10, 17. I mean, you know, how important is faith? Everybody got a Bible? Okay, let me tell you how important it is. I'll give you an example. Hebrews 4, 2 says, the gospel was preached to them and the children in the wilderness. That's what the whole third chapter of Hebrews is about, is the children of the wilderness, in the wilderness that died because they didn't believe God. And it says the gospel or good news was preached to them as well as unto us, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Well, we got the Bible. Amen. We got the Word. But this won't profit you, not being mixed with faith in them that hear it. And so if I'll mix faith in with what I hear and act on what I hear, live it, believe it, trust it, then it will profit. It won't be a dead book. It won't just be a religious book. It'll be a profitable book.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I need it. You need it. It pleases God. We know that. We'll get into that in Hebrews here. It's what Jesus is looking for. When He comes back, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on earth? It's interesting. That's what He's looking for. Over and over. And how many times did Jesus, in individual cases of healings, miracles, signs and wonders, did He say, thy faith hath made thee whole? Do you believe that I am able to do this? According to your faith, so be it unto thee. Wow. I mean, that would take us weeks just to go over those individual cases of people that were healed according to what Jesus said, according to their faith. Now, I know Jesus is a healer. He gets the glory. He gets the praise and the honor. But faith was the connection. Faith was the condition. Are you with me? Not the cause. It was the condition. Think about that. You know, the cause of our salvation is not faith. Jesus is the cause of our salvation, but faith is the condition. You know, we do have to believe. Amen? Hebrews 11, found it? Okay, while you're there, look at Hebrews 10. I'm just rolling here, okay? Y'all stay with me. I'm going to read one verse in Hebrews 10:1, and then we'll read one verse in Hebrews 11:1. It'll connect. I think it's awesome the way the writer of Hebrews lays this thing out, that Jesus is our high priest, that Jesus is the better covenant. Amen? and that we do have a better covenant and so on. And he goes through this whole scenario of Jesus is better than the angels, he's better than Moses, he's better than the prophets, he's better than all that, and this covenant is a better covenant built on better promises. And he talks a lot about the law, and he says in Hebrews 10:1, he says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, could never with those same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect." The law, works, flesh, is no more than a shadow of the good things to come or that God has prepared for us. But notice Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." So the law is just a shadow, but faith is the substance. What the law could not do, faith can do. What the law is just a shadow of, faith is a reality of. Isn't that right? The law is just a shadow of good things, but faith is the substance of things hoped for. So how do you come from promises that were made and shadows and types and out of the Old Testament promises? How do you get past the shadows and into the substance? You got to believe. Amen? Pure and simple. Faith is the substance. The law is just the shadow. Ooh, hallelujah. Man, I want a little substance to my dreams. I want my dreams to come. I want my hope for things to come true. I'd like for these promises to come true. I mean, faith, believing God, it's like putting all your eggs in a basket and believing God that they're hatched before they are.
That's right.
That's the way it goes, you know. Believing your eggs hatch before they're hatched, something like that. But it's believing before. It's just the opposite of what the world would say. And he says, now faith is. I always like to say now. Everybody say now.
Now.
It's not last week. It's not next week. It's right now. It deals with the future, but it's right now. Faith does not deal with the past. Faith deals with the future. But faith in and of itself is now. You have to believe now. You can't wait till you have it and then believe. You know, I often do this little experiment and it bears repeating. Believing deals with the unseen. Believing deals with what has not happened. Believing deals with what's going to happen. Faith deals with the future. It deals with the untasted, unfelt, untouched, unsmelt, unseen. I mean, for me to say, how many of you believe I'm here? I would probably have some hands. People would raise their hands and say, yeah, I believe you're here. But you don't believe I'm here. You know I'm here. That's not faith. You're looking at me. You don't need faith when you're looking at something.
And
you feel it. Now, if I wasn't here, and there was, I just had passed into the intercom or the microphone or something here and said, I'm on my way, you might believe I'm coming, and that would be proper. But once I get here, you don't believe I'm here. I'm here.
Wow. Yes.
Isn't that right? And so faith deals with what has not been seen or has not been felt or has not been smelled or heard. Faith deals in another realm. It's the unseen, unsmelled, untasted, untouched. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now you can hope for something, and that's fine, but we're doing more than hoping and praying. We're standing on the Word of God. We have an expectation, and thank God for hope, but hope is not enough. You have to start with hope, but you need to consummate it by believing. Well, I sure hope so. Well, that's a good start. I mean, you have an expectation or a desire, as it were, but faith puts substance to what you hope for. It's more than just hoping. I hope it turns all right. Oh, no. That's a good idea. That's a good start. I mean, don't give up hope. Keep hope alive. But you need faith to put substance for what you hope for. People hope to have a good life. People hope to have a good marriage. People hope to have a better, you know, job or whatever. I hope so. I sure hope so. But faith is more than that. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. Are you with me?
Yes.
And oftentimes we pray, you know, we'll pray about something and we'll say, you know, how's it going? Well, we've prayed. Well, do you believe you're going to get it? Well, I sure hope so. But that's not faith.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm not being mean or hard, but we've got to get past this. It's not just a desire. Faith is more than a desire or a want. Faith is trusting God. It is putting substance of what we hope for. I believe it will be just like God said. That's the way we answer that question. How is it going? Well, it's going to be just like God said. I prayed. I believe God. I'm standing on a word.
Yeah.
And they're going, well, I sure hope so. Well, you can hope all you want to. I believe it. Are you with me? Because faith puts substance to the thing we hope for. Faith can't be hope because in the same verse it says faith's what puts substance to the thing we hope for. Now, faith's not opposed to hope. Faith starts with hope. Without a desire, you know, a dream, you know, without that, then faith has nothing to put substance to. Everybody wants to feel better. Everybody wants a better marriage. Everybody wants this, wants that. Everybody wants to go to heaven, you know. Nobody wants to load up on the bus today. But having said that, just the desire to live forever and go to heaven, that's a hope. But how do you put substance to that? Well, you believe.
Amen.
Amen.
I know.
Hallelujah. Yes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love that. Faith, in one sense, is a sense. Faith is a spiritual sense. Faith is like my hands feel, my eyes see, my ears hear, my mouth tastes, and my nose smells, my heart believes. Romans 10:10 tells us, it says, for with the heart, man believes. You could go on and say, with the ears, man hears. With the nose, man smells. With eyes, man sees. It's a sense, but it's a spiritual sense. And you know what? If you don't have it, and if you're not operating in it, lost people, you know, have not operated in it, not in the biblical sense, and Christians sometimes don't operate in it, we've cut ourselves off from a whole world or dimension, as it were. You know, there's a dimension of sight that you can only contact with eyes. Sunrises and sunsets, landscapes, baby smiling, you know. Then there's a whole dimension of sound that you can only contact with your ears. Music, babies laughing, the rain coming down on a tin roof, you know. I mean, that's a whole world, as it were. It's the world of sound that you can only contact with hearing or ears. The world of sight can only be contacted with eyes, seeing. Then there's the world of smelling. You know, that's a wonderful world. It can be wonderful, you know. So all things going, you know, all things equal. But wouldn't it be terrible to just say, I don't see anymore, or I don't hear anymore? I'm often amazed at people that will say things like that. Oh, I used to believe, but as I've gotten older, I don't believe anymore. As if that were mature, or that were a sign of growth or strength. It'd be like saying, oh yeah, I used to see, but I don't see anymore. Yeah, I used to hear. I used to hear real good, but don't hear anymore. See, isn't it amazing that any of our senses we lose, we're the less for it, but we think for some reason it's mature and strong and a sign of strength to lose one's faith. To lose one's faith is to lose access to the whole world of the supernatural. To lose access to all that God promises. To lose access to God's Word, this world, Word, this dimension of the Word, this dimension of promises that only faith can detect. Just like sights can only be seen and sounds can only be heard, God's promises can only be believed. And so without it, I'm less of a person. I've lost my faith. It'd be like losing my sight. I've lost my hearing. And see, it detects and shows me things, thank God, out there, that I would never detect any other way. You know, when this, and I've used this example many times, I know, but when this service is over, you know, we will look at that door, and we will walk out toward that door. You don't feel that door right now, you don't smell that door, you don't hear that door, and you don't taste that door. All you do is see that door right now. That's it. But you have enough confidence in your sight, because you've used it and you've acted on it enough, that if you walk by sight long enough and not by feeling, not by smell, and not by hearing, that you will eventually get to that door and you can touch that doorknob with your hand. Hallelujah. I didn't give up. I didn't quit. I kept going. I went by sight. My one sense showed it to me. And there it is, the door. And I feel it. And I smell it. The door. And if you wanted to, you could eat it. I wouldn't suggest it. But you could. You could. The rest of the senses could come in contact with what one sense revealed to you when all the rest of them were dormant. They did not work because they don't operate in the realm of sight. So you could ask and say that when you get up here, I'm going to walk by sight and not by hearing. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I'm going to walk by sight and not by smell. I'm going to walk by sight and not by touch. I'm going to walk by sight. We do this all the time. We're driving down the road, you know, and we see a car cross over in our lane. We don't feel it. We don't smell it. We don't hear it, but we see it. And we don't take a vote. It's not a democracy. We don't sit down and say, "Now wait a minute. I know I see that car, but man, I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. No. I can't smell it. I can't taste it. And I can't hear it." Well, just hold on. You will.
Wow.
If you don't move, something's going to happen here. And the same thing, you might, you know, hear an alarm go off and you don't know what it's about, but you should get out of the building because you've heard something. Your hearing has revealed to you something that none of your other senses revealed to you. And because, now listen, because you're mature, because you got some sense, okay, not just sense is, but you got some sense, you know there's lots of times in life that you're just going to have one of your senses detect something that is paramount, that you listen to it, you follow it, you pay attention to it, because, buddy, that's what eyes do. They see things. They see things that I don't hear. And they hear things. My ears hear things that I don't see. Are you with me? We know that. We understand that. Well, God has given us faith. Hallelujah. That sees an answer when nothing else sees it. Nothing else sees that answer. Only faith does. Only faith sees that promise. It sees it out there. It's out there. God said so. With my heart, I believe. He didn't say with my hands, I believe. With your hands, you feel. Okay? With your eyes, you see. See, you don't try to see with your hands. It would just be ridiculous to try to do that. Your hands don't see. You know that. That's not a faculty of hands. You don't see with your ears. I mean, somebody says, "Hey, look at this." You don't go. And that would be crazy. You wouldn't say, "Well, I don't see anything." Well, we'd all say, "Well, you know, I tell you why. You got your hand out there and you need to turn around and look with your eyes." But see, we're that way with faith many times. God reveals something. So I don't believe that. What do you mean? You don't believe it with what? You don't believe it with your hands? Well, it doesn't look any different. What are you trying to do? Trying to believe with your eyes? Eyes don't believe. Yeah, I got prayed for and I don't feel any. Well, wait a minute. What are you trying to do? Believe with your feelings?
Wow.
Y'all listen? We do this. We pray. Nothing happens. We look around. We feel. We hear. We smell. And you know what? It's not happening. And the problem is, and the bad thing is that it is happening. But you're not going to experience it because you turn around before you get to that door. Because you don't feel that door. You don't smell that door. You don't hear that door. And your eyes are saying, "That door is there, man. Keep going." And faith's telling you, "Hey, that promise is out there. Walk by faith and not by sight." It's a supernatural sense. It's a sixth sense. It deals with the supernatural, just like eyes deal with sight and hearing deals with, you know, hearing. I mean, it's not complicated. I think we make it so deep, you know. And then we'll do the same dumb thing. We'll do it ourselves. We'll pray about something and it doesn't change in the natural. Well, maybe it's a little further out there. Don't stop now. You're getting closer every day. Keep walking until you hit it. Don't turn around. Don't get halfway to the door and stop. No, you just keep going. You'll finally get there. And if you walk by faith, you'll finally get there too. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Eyes is the evidence of things not heard. Hearing is the evidence of things not felt. Isn't that right? Feeling is the evidence of things not seen. I mean, you can go right down the list. I mean, we do this all the time. We have five senses, and they're constantly operating, you know, in different realms, and we understand that. It has nothing to do with how many of them agree. How can they agree? They don't even operate in the same realm. How could your flesh believe? That's another impossibility. Your flesh can't believe. Your heart believes. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So faith in that sense is just a sense. Faith in that sense is a supernatural sense. Not a natural one, but a supernatural. Thank God He's given it to us. Thank God He has given us faith that we can operate in the realm of God. We can operate in the promises of God. That we could step out there, hallelujah, and stand on a word when nobody else sees it. Nobody else Because it's foolishness to the natural. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because it's foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. How could you know something spiritually understood when you won't use the spiritual sense that God gave you?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Good stuff. Amen.
Amen.
So here he begins to list. I'm just rolling here with you. Here he begins to list these men and women of faith. I love that. And the accomplishments that they accomplished, the things that they did. What merited them to get in this chapter? They believed God. They were different kinds of people in different ages. They were probably looked totally different. You know, they had different occupations and they lived different lives. But one thing they had in common is they all believed God. I love that. I may not be a Noah or an Abraham or a Sarah or a Joseph or a Moses or an Enoch, you know, or Elijah, but I tell you what, I can believe God. I believe the Faith Hall of Fame is still being written. That God has given us faith to make a difference. He's given us faith to connect with Him and to flow in the Spirit. To bring a little heaven into this earth. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the battery cables that hooks up to the power of heaven. It's the connector. It's what connects. Where the juice flows. You know, where the power flows. Like that woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5th chapter. She came up behind Jesus. She touched the hem of His garment. And the Bible says this. It says, immediately she felt in her body that she was healed of this plague. Virtue or power came out of Jesus into her. She connected. And Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. I love that. And of course, you can follow that story. You can see where she believed and stood on the Word. And it connected. I tell you, she should be in here too. I mean, there's probably all those instances of people that were healed by faith and got a miracle by faith and were saved by faith, and they should be in here too. This is all about faith and people who changed their world and changed their circumstances and trusted God and got results, not because they were great, not because they had money or didn't have money, not because they were tall or short, not because they were old or young, but because they believed God. By it, second verse. Faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
By it, faith, the elders obtained a good testimony or a good report, King James Version says. You know, you think about it. I want a good report with God. How about you? Mm-hmm. Only way I'm going to do that is believe Him and trust Him. Trust Him in my life. Trust Him daily. You know, trust Him for my future and so on and so. Trust Him for my family. Trust Him, you know, for my job, whatever the case may be. Trust Him for my peace. Trust Him for my strength. That's a good report. Now, I don't believe God gives out all the tests. We often talk about God testing, but you know, I think the devil is the great tester, the tempter. That's what the Bible says. It says when the tempter came, it never says God is the tempter. I know God does prove things and prove us. But I know this, although God may not give out the tests, He does give out the grades. And so if you want a good grade or an A+, then you need to, in the trials of life, trust God.
Amen.
Amen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report, a good testimony, and a good report on the report card. Hallelujah. I don't know everything's going to happen to you. I don't know everything's going to happen to me. But I know I can trust God. I know I can trust God. And I'm supposed to trust God. So whatever happens, I'm going to trust God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll handle that when it comes. Well, what about this happens? Whatever happens, we're going to trust God. Don't lay awake all night worried about everything can go wrong. Or everything that you're going to have to fight and every battle you're going to have to enter into. Just know this, that if you're a person of faith, then when that thing comes, you'll believe God just like you've been believing God.
Yeah.
Amen? That y'all sound real excited about that.
Amen.
By it, the elders obtained a good report, a good testimony. They kept walking by faith instead of what they saw, felt, or whatever. They just walked by faith. And this, to me, is a revealing verse. Now, I'm going to take a little time on this third verse. Because normally we will say, let's just read. By faith we understand, or through faith we understand, King James Version said. I'm reading New King James. By faith, or through faith we understand, the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith we understand, the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible or do appear. In other words, the Latin term is ex nihilo, out of nothing. In other words, God made everything out of nothing. He didn't make things with things he already had. He made things out of nothing. Everything that's seen was made from the unseen. Everything visible was made from the invisible. And by faith, or through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, I understand that, and I know God created the world, and I know by faith that He did it, and He did it out of nothing. No question. But I would submit to you that this verse really is saying a little more than just that. I agree with that. Are you with me? God made the world. Everybody say, God made the world.
God made the world.
And He made it out of nothing.
He made it out of nothing.
And I know that by faith.
I know that by faith.
I love that. And so we can easily say and preach, through faith we understand. I love that. St. Augustine made that statement. He said, understanding is the reward of faith. Faith is not the reward of understanding. And we often try to understand everything first, then we believe. But God say, no, you believe, then you'll understand. Isn't that right? You go a little further. Understanding is the reward of faith. Faith's not the reward of understanding. I believe he went on and said this, that therefore seek not to understand that you may believe, but seek to believe that you may understand. Y'all get that? Makes sense. But let me submit something else to you. Where it says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed. Everybody say worlds. Okay, when you think about that, you think of the universe and the physical universe as we know it. But actually, that Greek word is aeons. It's ages. Ages. In fact, it's translated that way many, many times. Time, eternity, ages, aeons. And then it says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed. The word framed there in the Greek, it means to fix or repair or to mend or to make right. That's what it means. Which kind of puts a different meaning on the whole show there when you think it through. Let me submit this to you. You think about it. Don't think I'm a heretic, because I do believe God made everything, and it's by faith I understand it, just like we preach and teach. But I believe this verse is saying more than that. The context of this whole chapter is men and women that have done great exploits for God in their age, where they were. They were born into different ages. They were born into different times. And it didn't matter what time they were born in or what age they were born in, they could fix it by faith. They actually did fix it by faith. Noah made an ark. Are you with me? Enoch was translated. And Abraham had a son supernaturally. Moses came out of Egypt. All these men and women of faith in their times where they lived fixed their ages. Through faith we understand that these ages were fixed or mended by the Word of God. Now if that's too much for you, you got to love me, because I believe Jesus died and rose again, and I have my faith in Him to be saved. So we're Christians, and you got to love me. But the context of Hebrews 11 is real plain. It's all about these men and women and everything they did. It's not about what God did. It's about what they did by faith, by trusting God. What did he just get through saying? By it the elders obtained a good report. Didn't say by it God retained a good report. Of course God got a good report. God's God. It's Him they're trusting. It's Him they're believing. He gets the glory. We know that. But that's not what Hebrews 11 is about. Hebrews 11 is about people, men and women, who believe God. By it, faith, these elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the ages are fixed and mended and made right by the Word of God. You can fix them in your age. You can make a difference where you live in your world, just like Noah did, just like Elijah, just like Enoch did, just like Abraham did, just like Joseph, just like Moses. Whatever age you're in, faith will fix it. Whatever world circle you're in, faith will fix it. Through faith we understand. I can fix my world. I can mend it and put it back together no matter what age it is. In other words, no matter what time I'm in, I can fix it by the Word of God. Wow. These men and women proved it over and over and over. And then he begins to list what they did. One after another that believed God and fixed their situation. Wow. Goodness. I see, really, I believe that's what it's saying here. And not to take away from God making everything and us believing and understanding that by faith, I agree with that. But in the context of this, he's talking about these people. Yeah. And he's talking to us, and he's telling us that if we'll believe, we can fix the age we live in. Not the whole age. I'm talking about my world, my age, my time.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it says through faith, we understand that the ages were fixed. And hey, go look that up. You got a Strong's Concordance or something? Go look it up. Look up the word framed. Look up the word world. And you'll see that it's ages, and framed is the world. The Greek word katazo, or I can't remember. I'm not a Greek scholar, but it means to mend or fix or to repair. Well, a God didn't repair the world when He made it. He wasn't talking about God making the world, physical world.
Yeah.
Right? That would be a different word. Mm-hmm. So He's talking about these people that fixed their age. We're framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear or are visible. They trusted God, hallelujah, and out of nothing in the natural, they begin to see things come to pass in the natural because they believed out of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so He says this. He goes on, He talks about these men and women. He says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. That's interesting. What was so much better about Abel's sacrifice than Cain's sacrifice? Well, Abel knew that God had slayed animals, shed blood, took skin, and covered Adam and Eve. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So I think he picked up pretty quick that if he was going to be accepted by God, then he's going to have to slay animals or give animals, give life. And he did. Another interesting fact, too, is when you think about Cain offering up the fruit of the ground, which that was acceptable under the law of Moses, but after Adam had sinned, the ground was cursed. And so anything from the ground would have been cursed. The curse was lifted in the days of Noah. You can read that in Genesis. After the flood. After the flood of Noah, God lifted the curse off the ground. And He says, I'll no longer curse the ground for man's sake. But from Adam to Noah, the ground was cursed. So if you offered to God something that was grown out of the ground, it wasn't a blessed sacrifice, as it were. Interesting to think of it that way. But see, that was all about faith. It wasn't about the amount you offered. It wasn't about how hard you worked to do it. It was about what you believed was right. And so Abel believed that this is what God did to cover their sins, and so he was going to offer life for life. And he did, and God accepted it. And his blood spoke out of the ground. Cain went just by what he saw and what he worked and what he put his hands to and never thought about the implications spiritually, never thought about spiritual sin, never thought about spiritual covering, never thought about any of that. It was all natural to him. He just dug in the ground and worked this ground and offered that up to God, and it was cursed. He knew it was cursed. I mean, let's don't be too light on him. It's recorded that the ground was cursed and the fruit of the ground was cursed. And then it was lifted in the days of Noah. So it says here, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. You know, we give a lot of things, but it's what we give by faith in line with God's Word that is more excellent, that God receives. You know, you don't just decide necessarily what you're going to do for God per se. I mean, God may call you to do something else. I think you ought to do good things, but if God's burning is a passion in you and He wants you to do a certain thing, you know what? That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Listen, I could go to India and be a missionary. That's not what God called me to do. I could offer that to God as a sacrifice, but it wouldn't be an excellent sacrifice because I wouldn't be operating in faith because I wouldn't be acting on what God told me to do. God told me to come to West Point, Texas and pastor this church. And anything else I sacrifice, no matter how much I sacrifice, it's not going to be received because it wasn't about faith. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? It's trusting God, trusting His Word. You say, well, I think I'll do this and I think I'll do that. Well, you better check out first, see if it's scriptural. You better pray and make sure that's what God wants you to do. Hello. If I were to ask my son to clean his room and he went out and mowed the yard, I might appreciate the lawn being mowed. But I'm a little upset because he didn't obey me and clean the room. He said, well, Dad, I mowed the lawn. Yeah, but that's not what I asked you. I asked you to clean the room. Are you with me? And I think that's what we do a lot of times. We try to substitute things, you know, sacrifices or whatever the case may be, and God's asking us to do something else. And the most excellent sacrifice is the thing that God tells us to do. so we can do it and trust Him. Oh, I don't tithe, but I do other things. Well, yeah, but God asked you to tithe. He didn't ask you to do other things to make up for that. Well, I don't go to church, but I read my Bible. Well, you need to go to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Even more so as you see the day approaching. I mean, you talk to people that are strange. I mean, they seemingly love God, but they're not really living by faith. They're living by what they want to do for God, not what God wants them to do for them. Well, I'm spiritual. I love God. I'm not a bad person. I don't need church. Well, no, you do, because God says you do. Not because you're bad or good or whatever. You know, it's just that's what God says. Amen. Faith starts with this premise. God is smarter than we are.
Amen.
that went over real big. Hallelujah. And so when He says something, we do it. Now, you know, hey, I know a lot of good things I do because they're good things. But then when God speaks to me, I'm going to do, you know, what God speaks me to do. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. They both worked. They both offered something. But one of them was acceptable. One of them was not acceptable. One was cursed. One was blessed. And they both knew what was blessed. And they could have done it. Fifth verse. So if you want an excellent sacrifice, if you want what you give to God to be received, then do it by faith. Make sure it's scriptural what you're doing.
Yes.
Amen. And follow the call on your life. Fifth verse says this. Now, we're not going through the whole chapter, obviously, because we're not going to make it through the whole chapter. I have no idea what time it is. I just see a countdown clock back there, so stay with me. You need to answer that? Okay. No, who was it, hey?
Your
important?
Brother.
Oh, my brother. Yeah, tell him I said hi. Okay. Yeah. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says in the fifth, I love this one, by faith Enoch, he was the seventh from Adam.
Yes.
Okay. He was the father of Methuselah. I think that's interesting. You know, Enoch prophesied that the Lord would come with the 10,000 of the saints to execute righteousness on the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds that the ungodly have committed. That's in 1 Peter. And Jude. That's in Jude where it says that. In fact, it's the most ungodly verse in the Bible. It says ungodly, I think, about three times. But he dealt with... he dealt with... It's interesting. He was a prophet. He saw into the future. I believe he'll be one of the two witnesses. Personally, that's my take on it. I mean, I believe he'll be one of the two witnesses in Revelation, the 11th chapter, Enoch and Elijah. Because those two men have not died. They're still up in heaven. Hebrews 9:27 says, "The appointed man once died, then the judgment." And these two men come out of heaven alive. They haven't died. And they're going to be killed by the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation. 3.5 years in tribulation. But anyway, it says he prophesied the Lord cometh. He names his son Methuselah, which means that the end will come when he dies. The deluge will come when he dies. Methuselah lived 969 years. And all you got to do is do the math. The Bible in the Old Testament tells you how old each person was. Adam was 130 and begat Seth. And it tells you how old each person was when they begat. The day or the year that Methuselah died, the flood came on the earth. 1656 years from Adam. You just have to go add that up, make sure I'm right. But it happened the year that he died. And Enoch named him and prophesied that the end would come, the flood would come when he died. Fascinating story. Enoch was walking with God, had this kind of connection with God. It's also interesting that the oldest man in the Bible was Methuselah because God waited and waited and waited for people to repent, and they didn't. And it was only Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. Eight souls were saved. I can't help believe that it was the long-suffering of God, 969 years, God waiting and waiting and waiting, and nobody would repent. But here's Enoch, and he's just walking with God, the Bible says. And it says, by faith Enoch, the seventh from Adam now, says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Enoch lived 365 years. You think about it, it's 365 days in a year. He lived 365 years. It says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Because God had taken him, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Love that. He didn't die. He was just taken up. I've actually talked to people who says, well, I believe if you just trust God long enough, if you just trust God, you can be taken up too. Yeah, I think you can. If you trust God for 365 years, I believe you can be taken up. 365 years. That's how long he lived. That's a lot of trusting, amen? They did live a little longer back then. But I believe there's a special calling on him and Elijah both. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind up into heaven. Elijah and Enoch. But he says this, and I'll say this in closing tonight. The sixth verse. And really, he's still talking about Enoch. And he says, but without faith, it's kind of hard. Let's say that. What? What? Impossible? Whoa, now wait a minute. How many of you want to please God? I want to please God. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Absolutely impossible. Man, I want to please God. So if I didn't know anything but the sixth verse here, that would encourage me to get in faith and get my faith growing and get it, you know, encourage it and hear the word, increase my faith and act on my faith, because without it, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, think about it, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, number one, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's number two. Obviously, you're not going to come to a God you don't believe in. So you wouldn't call on a God you didn't believe in. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. But faith doesn't stop with believing God is. Biblical faith, Hebrews 11 faith, doesn't stop with God can. Are you with me? Hebrews 11, biblical faith, doesn't stop with God's able. No, no, no. It doesn't stop with God. It starts there, but it goes another step. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That it does pay to come to God. That God does reward us when we believe. He doesn't say sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait a while. He says yes when we trust him, when we're standing on his word. That he is a rewarder of those that, notice that word, diligently, that diligently seek him. And that gives us an insight into faith too. Faith is not a one-time shot. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is diligently seeking God, calling on God, standing on God's word. Are you with me? You know, I think about all that's accomplished here at International Outreach Church. Here we are 28 plus years into ministry here in the church. This didn't happen overnight. And this is not a one-time confession. This is a lifetime of believing God. A lifestyle of trusting God. Building upon faith. Great successes. Listen, don't come. They don't come cheap. They don't come overnight. Great success are no more than a lot of small successes sustained over a long period of time.
Yes.
And so we continually believe, and we wake up one day like we're in a dream. We go, wow, isn't it wonderful what the Lord has done? Because we kept believing. We just kept believing. People often ask me, they'll say, well, you know, what's the secret to the success? You do so much in that church, in that town, a small town, and you're just rolling, and you're out of debt, and all the outreaches. What's the secret to your success? I can only think of one thing. We didn't quit. That's faith. I mean, faith, we just kept believing. We started out believing, and we just kept believing. The way we started is the way we continued, and it's the way we're going to finish this thing. We just keep believing. We don't ever quit believing. We just never stopped. We just kept going. And you know what? It just gets better every year. More things happen every year. And we just give God more glory, but it's because of faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.